Good to see you all. A couple things. Number one, thanks to Travis for bringing the word last week. You didn't throw any buckets, so everybody was safe, I heard, and I always appreciate it. I know you do too, his passion for the word of God. Also, it lets you know, if you're a guest, if this is your first Sunday with us, hopefully, you got a guest bag as you came in. It's got some things in there, and I always, it's an old joke to the people that are here, but there's a bottle of water in there that's not to drink, that's to squirt anybody who's been harvesting this week and they're falling asleep in the service because they're worn out, but we're so glad to have you. One of the things that is in that bag is a connect card, a connection card. If you would fill that out sometime this morning, and if you give it to us before you leave, you're going to have a ministry, because one of the things we've committed to is for every one of those connection cards that comes back to us, we give the funds to purchase 50 pounds of food to Project Hunger. So you're going to be ministering to this community by handing that back to us. So just we really appreciate you being here. Thank you for being with us this morning. We just, if you're looking for a church home and this is where God wants you, we'd love to have you be part of this. Also, just want to let you know, a couple months ago, my brother Jim and his wife Pam were here sharing a ministry. They were just moving into going to a group called Village Missions, which Mary Lou and I were with for 30 years. And they've been assigned, and they're now they've been on their church, on their field, as we call it in the mission, for 3 months. So Pam is with us this morning, and her son Stephen are here. Pam, stick your hand up. I'll make you stand. But if you want an update, grab her and ask her, because things are going well. They've fallen in love with that community, and God's doing some really cool things already. So grab her and say, hey, update me, because that's one of those ministries that, because you give and give so faithfully, we as a church family can support. And so I appreciate that. You know, all of us have those things that make us anxious, that maybe fearful sometimes, a little insecure. And, you know, usually if those kind of feelings are there, it's because something feels a little precarious right now. Something feels a little off. We're a little worried about how this is going to end up. And, so we walk through those kinds of emotions and this just that anxiousness, that nervousness that comes with that. Sometimes, you know, there's a real good reason for feeling that way. Sometimes it's not based in reality at all. I remember years ago, in fact, right after Mary Lou and I got married, the summer after we got married, so just a few months after we had gotten married, we actually met out in Colorado, but she's from back east, from upstate New York. She always clarifies that if you say New York, she wants to make sure you know it's not the city. She's up in the pretty part, which it is, a beautiful area. But I had never been back there because we met in Colorado. So we made our first trip back to visit, meet some of her family that I'd never met, and back there. And it was really interesting what happened, because a couple of months or maybe a month before we made the trip, I started having this dream. And here was the gist of the dream. We got out there. She saw one of her old boyfriends, and she thought, the heck with this guy. I'm going back to him. Now, I know that's not based in reality. Who would ever give up on this, you know? I didn't have any clue that that was even in my head, but evidently it was, because I kept having this dream, and as you can see, we went out there, and she did come back with me, so that was good. But you know, that's what, those things are kind of funny how they hit us, and you know, and sometimes it can be one of those situations, you know, you have a really, just this sense with your friend or your spouse or, and you know, for whatever reason, you feel like something's wrong. You know, maybe you're both on Facebook and they haven't been responding to messages lately, or if they have, it's been those, you know, one or two word answers, or maybe you message them and they, instead of actually answering your message, they hit one of those automatic things, can't talk right now, and so you're kind of looking at it and saying, I don't know, maybe maybe something's wrong. I just feel like there might be something. And that may be true. It may not be. But you start feeling insecure. You start wondering and a little bit anxious about next time you see them or if you should call and ask them, is everything all right? And your mind starts going a little bit crazy about this stuff. And a couple weeks ago, that's where we kind of left Paul in his relationship with God, if you remember. He was in this strange position where he shared personal testimony. Now as he shares this testimony, it was in past tense, but he shared a time in his life, I believe, a time after he had come into a relationship with Jesus Christ, after he'd accepted that forgiveness that God offers and that adoption in God's family, all those things that come with the good news that God offers to all of us. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He'd already accepted that. And in fact, remember if you were there a couple weeks ago, and if not, might want to go back and check. He talks about this time where he came alive for the first time, but then something happened that took him back, and suddenly he found himself really struggling. And as Paul has said, as we've walked through it, but here's where you remember. Here's how he kind of one of the verses where he describes is, I don't understand what I do, what I want to do. I do not do, but what I hate, I do. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me? There was this troubling thing going on for him, and he suddenly was terribly insecure about his relationship with God. He really wasn't sure where he stood, even though not long before that he knew exactly where he stood. And he described it as being alive for the first time, but something had settled in that had robbed him of that sense of security. And suddenly he's anxious about it again. And what Paul tells us is, as in fact, as we walk through this whole series, starting with chapter 6, remember we're looking at a section of a letter that Paul wrote to the church that existed in the city of Rome. And that's why it's called Romans. And we started in chapter 6. And as Paul has been saying in this context, in this area we're talking about, that what he's made clear is so much of our struggle, in fact, almost all of our struggle when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ, especially as believers, as ones that accepted the gift, it's all up here. It's all in the mind. And that's where the wrestling match takes place, because we struggle with believing. In fact, some things Paul's walked us through, he said there are some things that are facts. They are facts. If you have accepted that gift, that forgiveness that he's offered, that not only is about your past, but your present and your future. We'll look at another verse where he talked about how clear that what came became to him. But in spite of that, sometimes, you know, everything is settled with you and God. You're his child. You're in relationship with him, but our minds sometimes begins to play havoc on us. And so Paul says, he walks us through. He says, let me give you some facts. These are true about everyone who is a follower of Christ. Here's one of them. Count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. He said, you are now alive. And he talked about himself that way too. I'm alive for the first time. It's like there's this point in your life where you suddenly understood what God's offer was, that gracious, merciful offer of forgiveness, and you accepted it, and the switch came on. You were in darkness before, and now you're alive. In fact, he uses this kind of terminology. He says, you are a new creation. You are now alive in God, and nothing's ever going to change that. And so he says, that's a fact. And so if your mind is telling you anything different than that, recognize it's lying to you. Or maybe it's our enemy Satan trying to lie, but he says, this is a fact. And so he walks back down through this. Another one that he brought up, he says, you're now in a position where you can serve in the new way of the Spirit. And he contrasts that. He said, there's this old way of the written code. And remember for Paul, that was, I mean, he had spent his life from a child. He lived in this system where relationship with God, if there was even going to be one, was based on rules and regulations and doing things on certain days and sacrifices and making the right sacrifice for the sin and, you know, all these things, praying at the right time, praying in the right place, all these things made up his context of his life until that day he met Jesus Christ. And that old way, suddenly he realized that's not the way to have relationship. It never is. But he suddenly realized that's not what God is asking of me. He always thought it was, but he realized it's not. In fact, he says, now, because I know Christ, there's this new thing in me. I now can serve God, and we'll talk about what the way of the Spirit means in a moment, but I can serve God out of this heart that says, Lord, I love you. I know I'm your child, and I just want you to be pleased with me. And it changed the whole perspective for Paul. In fact, that's what bothered him so much is because, as we'll see in a moment, that went away. After he had come to that truth, he lost track of it, and then he's worried about that. And so that's a second. That's a fact. He says, you now have this opportunity. You are a new person, and you can serve in a new way. It's not based on rules and regulations and, oh, I hope I've done enough. And then he brought this up, kind of the culminating thought. He says, and here's the reality. There is now no condemnation for those who are on Christ Jesus. That's not even in the equation anymore. So when you get anxious and worry and you start thinking, okay, boy, I've done something. I'm sure God, man, yeah, I know I had a relationship with God, but maybe it's not there anymore because he says, no, there's no condemnation. That's not a part of you anymore. You've been adopted into his family. You will always be his child. Nothing is going to change that. And so he said, these are facts that we have to grab onto because if not, our minds, which is where this battle is fought, will play havoc with us. Will make us anxious about things we don't need to be anxious from. They'll make us worry when we don't need to worry. They'll make us fearful. And so now as we begin to move, in fact, here's Paul shared his battle. Remember, because we saw this last week as we got into verse 14 of chapter 7. This is what Paul struggled with because he knew this. And he had celebrated the fact that I finally left that old system behind of doing and doing and doing and doing and yet never knowing if I've done enough. And he said, I finally began a relationship with God that was based on grace and mercy and love and serving him because I wanted to serve him and I wanted to please him because I so loved him. He said, and then something happened. And remember as we worked down through chapter 7 a couple of weeks ago, he said, and this is where it kind of culminated. He says, here's what happened. He said, I found that there was a law at work. And here's where we focused in. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. And here's what we discovered that meant. He said, here's what happened. Because remember, when I want to do good, actually what means is when I wanted to look good, I opened myself up to evil. It became about performance. Now, he had lived his whole life prior to Christ that way. He thought he finally had been released from that, and then he found himself slipped right back into it. And man, if that isn't the plague of the church. This image keeping. This performance. And it's funny how, you know, I shared with you a couple weeks ago. It is so refreshing when someone first comes to Christ. Just, you know, because they don't have any. No one's told them there's a certain way you're supposed to talk and there's a certain way you're supposed to behave. They don't know any of that stuff. And then sometimes I love a new believer when they pray because you know what they do? They talk to God. And they haven't been told what language to use. In fact, some of the language they use, we'd say you probably shouldn't say that with God. But they don't know any of that. They're sharing their heart with God. And then time passes, and pretty soon they realize, oh, I'm supposed to act a certain way. Oh, I can't share that because if I share that, people are going to think I'm not a very good Christian, and whatever good Christian is. And suddenly we move into this, and that's what Paul says that's exactly what happened to him. And it robbed him. In fact, it got him to that place where he cried out, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this? And then he remembered, verse 1 of chapter 8, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, we're going to work through chapter 8 now. And I'm not going to go all the way, work through verse by verse. In fact, I want to touch base on a couple things. But I would encourage you this Sunday and next Sunday, this afternoon, maybe go home. And after you have s'mores at the bonfire, go home and read chapter 8. Because a lot of what Paul says in chapter 8 is the same thing he said in chapter 6 and chapter 7. He keeps saying it over and over again. He keeps saying, you know, I understand, you're a new person. It's not about do's and don'ts. It's not about what ifs. It's not about I hope I've done enough. You're actually adopted into God's family if you accepted that gift of forgiveness. So you need to live in that relationship. Recognize you're a new creation. Everything is new. And understand there is no condemnation. God will never condemn you because his son's death on the cross paid for all your sins. So that'll never be a part of your relationship with God anymore. Condemnation is not part of it. So he's telling us over and over again, you got to start thinking that way because that's our problem is we forget who we are in Christ. And so that's what he's been walking through. And that's, again, as you work through chapter 8, he goes through that all again. And so I don't want to spend the time walking through all of that. There are a couple things I do want to touch on this morning before I get to my main point. Couple of things he said. Here's one of the verses in chapter 8 that I think we need to grab onto because I think this is important. It says, the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Now, here, I'm saying this, if you are a follower of Christ, listen up here, because here's what we do sometimes. He's saying the sinful mind, now when he says sinful mind, he's not talking about serial killers I went and watched that Gosnell movie this week. Boy, talk about a twisted mind. It's just amazing to me. But he's not even talking, that's part of it, but he's talking about just a normal person apart from God has a sinful mind. He's already said that they can't do good, and he concludes himself because he was there for so long. Even though he's a very religious person, he came to realize, I wasn't serving God, I was serving me. I was serving this religious system. And so he says, the sinful mind, a person apart from Christ, really does not have the concept of doing something solely from a heart of, I want to serve and I love God, I want to please him. They don't. It's just a fact, he's saying. Why is this important for you and I to understand? Because here's what we do lots of times as Christians. You know, you ever heard that you can't legislate morality? That's kind of that idea. We expect people who don't know our Lord to step up to the plate and act like Christians. You don't use that language around me. I'm a Christian. Well, wait a minute. If God's removed some language from you over the years, it's because you have God working through you. They don't have that. And why are you expecting them to live up to that system? You know, I find especially we're in this political arena we're in right now that is so volatile. I hear a lot of Christians really thinking, okay, we need to make those other people, whoever they are, we need to make them think like we think. It won't happen. Right now, they just need to know you love them. So this is an important truth that I didn't want us to skip by. There's something else he says here. This is one of those doctrine things. He says, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Now, here's what I want you to know this is saying. When you invite Christ to be your Savior, when you understand that he died on the cross as payment for your sins, and because he made the payment, God's offering you a gift. Remember, all gifts cost somebody something. But if they're a legitimate gift, the person they're being given to, they don't pay anything for it. They just receive it or reject it. They have that choice. So if you've come to realize that God made the payment for this gift of forgiveness based on what Jesus did on the cross, and you accepted that gift, the moment you did that, a number of things took place. You're forgiven, past, present, and future. No, there's now no condemnation. You were adopted into God's family. You are his child. We'll talk a little more about that in a moment. Another thing that happened is God came and began to live within you. God, the Spirit, came and lived within you. And in fact, that's just a part of being a Christian. Automatically, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. And it's so cool because the Bible calls him a counselor. You know, you have those situations, and I do this all the time. In fact, I'll just tell you ahead of time. Every time one of you calls and says, "Hey, Paul, could I stop by and talk to you?" I go, "Okay, Lord, I don't know what they can talk to me about, but you help me to have wisdom. I want to have a godly answer if it's a question." We can talk to him all the time. It's so cool. He is our helper. He's called the helper. He even helps us know how to pray. You know, sometimes you ever been in a situation where I don't know how to pray about this. So, Lord, I'm just kind of throwing it out to you, and you know what's best. And the whole God, the Spirit, will translate that prayer for you. All these things he does, and he lives with you, and it's a matter-of-fact thing. He is in you. In fact, it's really interesting because, and the reason I want to pause on this for a moment is there are parts of our Christian family that I think have misunderstood what the Bible says about this. And they'll teach things like, well, you know, the Holy Spirit, you receive him at some later date after accepting Christ. That's not what I see in Scripture. Or the Holy Spirit comes and goes. You know, it's based on how well you're living your Christian life is whether he's there or not. It's not what I see in Scripture. In fact, it's really interesting. The Corinthian church, we've talked about the Corinthian church, the church in Corinth. It's the very next book in your Bible after this Romans letter, although the letter was written before the letter to Rome. But so in the Corinthian church, remember, it was I don't know how else to say it, but it was a messed up church. They were getting so many things wrong. They were arguing with each other. They were insensitive to each other's needs. They were judgmental with each other. They were, oh man, it wasn't even, you know, talk about keeping up image. They weren't even trying to keep up image. In fact, Paul says in that letter, he says, you do things that are worse than even the world does. They're looking at you and saying, are you kidding me? That's disgusting. And so there's this church, and they are such a mess. And yet Paul says this about him. For we were all baptized by the one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. He says, we all have the Spirit. The problem with them is, and here's the difference, and another distinction is, there is a difference between the Spirit living in you and being filled with the Spirit. And I don't want to go into this in detail, but basically it's kind of like this. When you became a believer, the Spirit came and got inside your car. Any given moment of any day, and this is what being filled with the Spirit is, you're going to decide who's driving. Does he get to drive? Or are you taking the wheel? And I will tell you, for me, that's sometimes a moment-by-moment decision. I say to him, I get up in the morning and say, I want you to drive. But not there. I'll take it back, God. And it goes on all day long, you know. And that's what, so there's a difference. But I want you to know, because this is important, that the Holy Spirit, if you are a follower of Christ, if you accept that gift, the Holy Spirit lives in you. God lives in you. There is nowhere you go that he is not there. But here's where I want us to end this morning. Paul says, I did not receive a spirit that makes you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. You ever gone to see, we have a couple couples in our church right now that are really close to getting to see their new little babies. It's right there, some of them. And some discussion going on about names and things like that. We'll help and pray for that they figure that out. But and here's what will happen. Someone will come up and look at the baby. In fact, it could be my wife because she does this all the time. And she'll look at it and she'll say, or somebody in the family will say, you see how that face she makes when she's hungry? That's just the same face her dad makes when he's hungry, you know? And he cries just like that too. She looks just like her dad. Or do you see that smile? He has, that's just like his mom. And my wife, she'll say that to me with our grandkids or other kids, I'm sorry, I don't see it. It just looked like a baby to me, maybe somewhere down the road, but I don't see it right now. This is saying that when you invited Christ to be your Savior, God the Spirit came in, and you look like your dad. He's in you. And notice the contrast. That realization, when you understand what that means, there's no fear involved anymore. So if you're feeling fearful and anxious, it's up here. Because you're his child. And nothing's going to change that, ever. There is no condemnation for those who are his kids. And I know some of you are feeling a little anxious right now. A little fearful. The what ifs are moving in. You're wondering about the future, and you don't know what the future is, and that's scaring you. But let me tell you, your dad does. He knows exactly what's coming down the pike. Not only does he know it, he's planned it. And he's planned out a path that's exactly what you need and I need in my life. Paul says there's three things that tend to rob us of the peace and the relationship that God wants us to have. There's performance, which you already mentioned. Slip into image keeping, and let me just tell you, that all that peace is going to go right out the window. You'll never know where you stand. There's fear. Fear that forgets about the fact that I'm a child. I don't worry about that. That's taken care of. And then next week we'll talk about the third one, suffering. Those things tend to put us back on our heels, make us question something that is not right. It's up here. Right or not, it's real. And we need to remind ourselves of who we are. And here's where Paul's going to end up. For I'm convinced, Paul says, I've come to this conclusion. I shared with you a few verses back the wrestling match I had in my life, and I lost track of this, but let me tell you, I'm convinced of this. I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing can separate you from God's love. So whatever fear you have right now, whatever doubt is there, whatever concern about, I wonder where I stand with God, let me tell you, nothing. Nothing. And you know, it's interesting, sometimes people will say, well, I know none of those other things will, but I can do things that will separate me from God's love. Well, wait a minute, aren't you part of God's creation? Last I read, you're part of the creation. You can't even separate yourself from his love. Nothing. Father, thank you for this reminder today, who we are, where we stand. We know full well sometimes those anxieties, those fears, those insecurities move into our life, and we ask questions that we shouldn't ask, that we don't need to ask. And Paul's told us, man, the battle's in our mind. There's our struggle, is thinking right. Our old thinking creeps in there sometimes, slipping back into old patterns that never, ever made us feel secure before. And why would we think they would now? We slip back in them like Paul did. We forget the facts that we are your child. We are in a position where we will never be condemned. For the first time in our life, we're a new creation. We can actually serve you from a heart that's not based on intimidation or fear or I better or else, but a heart that's based on God, I love you. Thank you. I want you to be happy. I want you to be pleased with me as your son, as your daughter. We need these reminders, Lord. We need to remember that we got nothing to be afraid of. So thanks for that reminder. Pray these things in your son's name. Amen. We'll be right back.
a celebration to last throughout the years. So bring your good times and your laughter too. We gon' celebrate your party with you. Come on now.
Celebration.
Let's all celebrate and have a good time.
Could you, come on around down?
Come down, sir.
Yeah. Hey, Mary Lou, could you come up too, please? She says, oh, no.
That's right. I knew.
I hope you didn't think that I forgot you on the second service. We did a little thing on the first service. This is a total surprise to Paul and Mary Lou. So we just wanted to tell you how much we love you and appreciate you. We don't always get a chance to say it. We walk out of here thinking it. I know I do every Sunday. We don't always have a chance to say it. But thank you so much for what you do. On behalf of the church, I know they all love you with all their hearts and appreciate the big heart that you have. We can see it every time we're in contact with you and how you don't notice when you come into contact with even new people in the church. Man, like, God, this guy has such a big heart and such a big love for everybody. And thank you so much, Paul.
Our Thanks. Pleasure. We do love you. Thank you.
Can I pray for us?
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this family that you've put in our lives, Lord. And just thank you for the heart that they have and the love that they have for you. It shows. It really does show how they love people. And that's why we're here. Thank you for this leadership that we have, Lord. We just forget to say it. And again, thank you for showering us with so many blessings. And we just pray that you bless this family as time goes on, Lord. And we see it growing, and we're just so thankful for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you
so everybody. Appreciate it.
Okay, Paul?
Yes.
I actually need you back up here. On behalf of True North Kids, we have a few gifts. Dear Pastor, thank you, Pastor, for all you do, for your work, your kindness, and guidance, too. You point to Jesus, you walk the walk. We usually listen when you talk. We think you're special, we think you're great, and we pray for you every day, especially in October for Pastor Appreciation. No, really, we've got your back. Now we'll cut you a little slack. We truly think that you're the best, and thank you for all you invest. God bless you, Pastor. 1, 2, 3.
Thank you, Pastor Paul.
Thank
all right.
you.
Thank you, Pastor, for your faithful and fruitful leadership at True North Church.
Elaine, go ahead. Go ahead and give it to him. Walk over.
Thank you.
And we have a fruit basket. Go ahead. And we made you a
thank you.
A bunch of fingerprint balloons. Thanks from True North Kids. Okay, go ahead and show him and then hand it to him. Oh, here's the phone.
Very cool.
And then give that to Pastor Paul. You're gonna go give your card to Pastor Paul. Where's the other one?
Thank you very much.
Can you go give it to Pastor Paul? Go give your picture to Pastor Paul.
Did you color that? All right. Good job. I like it. It matches. It's purple. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I guess they're saying I'm fruity, but anyway. Let me pray for us while they get upstairs and we'll dismiss. Father, thank you. Thank you for all these young little lives and hearts that are on the stage right now and just think about the future. And we get excited about the future because of them, because of their passion. They're already learning about you. Thank you for this family, this church family that I have the privilege of serving with and the honor. Lord, our heart's desire is, as we move forward, to stay in line and step with your will. So help us to do that well. And Lord, just again, we just celebrate you. We pray these things in your son's name. Amen. God bless.
Oh, that I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire, oh, set me on fire. Here I am, God, arms wide open. Pouring out my life, gracefully broken. My heart stands in awe of your name, your mighty love. Stands strong to the end, you will fulfill your purpose for me. You won't forsake me, you will be with me. Here I am, God. My life gracefully broken.
I give you my life. I give you my trust.